Blog Talk Radio.
Yep. Oh, man. Oh, boy. Let me get this show going and get it popping, man. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. I'm really tired. I want to apologize for last week, people. I couldn't do the show last Sunday. For the simple fact that I had to be in Indiana. I had to drop off a load there and couldn't get back to the phone and to my computer in time, so I had to call it quits. But it was some good business I had to tend to, and I'm kind of glad I did. But nevertheless, like to say, the show will go on. It had to be in the next week. But we're going to try to do something today and see what you guys want to talk about, what you want to do, what's going on in the event world. I know there's some grudge racing and some no prep going on all the time. It ain't dead. But I just won't be able to participate in too much of it this year because I got some things planned, so it takes up a lot of my time. I'm going to be selective of where I'm going to go. So whenever somebody tell me about a race that's going on at 131, 41, Milan, US 42, Lapeer, I'm going to make it my best to be there. If I can, I can. If I can, I can't. But you know how that goes. But that don't stop you from getting your two cents together and going out there and support these races. So do what you can. Get your car together and race. Advertise it and race. That way everybody know about it. We come out there and see you win or either get your butt whooped. One of the two. Nothing wrong with it. You lose some, you'll win some. Just hope and pray that you get as more wins than anything. With that being said, I got to get the show going. I got to get my prayer going, and we can go ahead and turn the show on. So with that being said, we got to get the show started. So before I get the show started, I got to say a little prayer. Father God in heaven, I want to thank you for giving me all the strength to endure as many things as I possibly can in this lifetime. Your son is 61 years old, and he's still doing pretty good. Lord, can you just continue to give me the strength to live another 61 years. But in my times on this earth, Father, allow people to understand what I've been through so they don't have to go through the same troubles and bumps and bruises. I want to thank you, Lord, for giving us this grudge racing, no prep, class racing event so we can have some fun and show our skills. So with that being said, Lord, look out after all those people that couldn't be here and those that is having troubles here in this world. So Father God in heaven, I want to thank you and please bless everybody. Amen. All right. Let's go see what we can find to talk about. What y'all got on your sleeve? What y'all got up your sleeve today here on the Shake and Bake Grudge Talk Show? I see a hand. I see a couple of hands. So push the one button. Let's find out what y'all want to talk about. What's going on out here in the world? Because Shake and Bake has been a little distance because I got something up my sleeve and y'all being my closest friends will get to know first. Let's see where I'm at. Okay. All right, let's see who's at the door. Yep. That looks like, from looking at that number, that looks like my boy Rich. What's going on, Rich?
Yeah, a whole lot, Shake. I didn't make it on the last couple of weeks and thought maybe I better step in tonight.
Yeah. I ain't stirred up about you, Rich. You support, you do what you can. I just want to know, is everything all right with you? You good?
I started tearing the car apart today, but.
I had a funny feeling that something wasn't right when I was driving to Indiana. And I said, my boy ain't called, ain't said he was going on no race or nothing. Usually you say you going to such and such race. You going to, test your car out. But I haven't heard anything from you. So what's wrong now, Rich?
Motor's locked up, so we're pulling it out. We'll find out what the hell's going on.
So you got a chance to do some testing, or you went and did some racing and it did that?
No, we went to Milan at the last PYOP backwards race down to Milan, and luckily got through first round. Had some major fuel injection issues on second round, which I've eliminated that off the car now because I'm done playing with that computer. Went out to Onondaga 2 weekends ago, and the car wouldn't even pull itself out of the trailer. So
what?
Yep, doing warm up. Valve started rattling, so we shut it off. Heard a little chirping noise. Double checked the valve lash and stuff. And the first one I checked, number two, was over 40,000 sluice, and they were set Friday, and Saturday morning they were loose. So pretty confident something in the valve train took a shit. Lifter or something like that.
Did your oil light show any indication? The light didn't come off?
No, the oil pressure's still good, all that. But like I said, I started hearing like a chirping noise, like the roller part of the bear or the lifter going bad.
Yeah.
And then it started popping and missing. I had a dead cylinder. It started popping real bad out of the exhaust. Shut it off. And like I say, number two was 40,000 out.
Good.
So reset it again. Like I say, we set them Friday before I put it in the trailer. So I know it wasn't missed. Set the intake. Was rolling it over by hand to do the exhaust, and the motor quit turning. Locked right up and quit turning, so we put it back in the trailer, and now we're tearing it apart. So,
yeah, well, at least that's a good thing when it just won't turn over, as long as it didn't throw a rod or sling a piston out the side of it. But it can be fixed. It's just a matter of tearing it down.
I'm pretty confident it's nothing major. I mean, worst case scenario, I buy a set of lifters and got a repair cam. But, you know, still got to pull it out and clean everything. Got all that metal went someplace, so.
Exactly.
You know, end of August, season's pretty much over anyway, so we'll take our time and do a couple of changes, and we'll be ready for next spring. But I'm going to concentrate on getting the metal done now.
Concentrate on what?
Getting that Malibu done.
Oh, okay.
Got it back to the chassis.
What you lacking on
it? I just
got
to put it together. Run brake lines, run fuel lines, put the fuel tank in it, hang the rear end, put the motor and tranny in it. Everything's built. Everything's ready to go in. It's all just sitting here, so.
Is that a nicest car, too? Or is it?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. So what fuel system you using in it? The same one? The computer?
No, I sent that fuel injection system back too. I'm back to old school carburetors.
Okay, you're going to go back and do it the old-fashioned way where it's less problems.
Less problems and shit that I know.
Yeah.
I tried being technical and, you know, coming into the 21st century or whatever the fuck we're in now. And getting out of the dinosaur age, but it ain't me. I'm going back to what I know.
And you know what, Rich? You kind of like me. I had a problem. My hair on my chest stood out when they first came out with electronic ignition system. You remember in the 80s?
Yep.
When they first came out electronic ignition, I seen this box that sit on the firewall of most cars. And this box supposed to control this, and this. And I'm like, what if this sucker go out and I'm driving from here to Texas? I see, I was used to points. And points, you can carry a spare set of points in your back pocket.
Yep.
Slap them in, file them down, keep on going. Oh, electronic ignition. Where's the nearest auto part? 50 miles.
There you go.
Good. So I was used to the old school way of setting stuff and fixing stuff. You can fabricate the old school, but this new school stuff, man, it's like a needle in a haystack. Cause it came with problems. It came with backup problems. Cause when you have a timing issue, it could be in that computer. But on the old school days, it was just in the distributor or the timing chain. Real simple to figure out. But you can have a what they call that new thing they got out there, the delay box, Dan Deere, whatever. That box that can control so much stuff and cause problems, and then you got to figure out where it's at. Oh, man.
Yep. And that's, like I say, this thing's got it, you know, it has trouble codes like a factory car does, but you got to know how to read them. You got to know how to fix them. You got to know how to adjust for whatever. And it's just, it's beyond my realm of knowledge and
expertise. Yeah.
Just done with it.
Yeah. So, can you hear me pretty good?
Carburetor. What's that?
Can you hear me pretty good?
Yeah, you're loud enough. I mean, you got a little static in the background when you're talking, but almost like you're on an analog.
I broke my earpiece yesterday or today, and I'm on my backup till I can order me another one. So that's all I was asking. But anyway, let's go back to the show. What were you saying now?
Just, you know, the modern stuff, you know, like Saturday at the track. Now, granted, I ended up with more problems than just the fuel injection. But it was perfect Friday. Saturday, it come out of the trailer. It didn't want to run for shit. I don't know how to go in and do that stuff without making a phone call, calling the tech line, talking to somebody. So I was dead in the water. If it was a carburetor, I know how to fix it.
So you're going back to what you know and what worked for you.
Yep. And several people have told me they really believe the car is going to be even faster on a carburetor than what that was on the fuel injection. So,
well, that was a topic that I wrote down with when Unknown was here, and I put it in my book, and I kept I kept walking past it, never did talk about it. When carburetors was out versus fuel injection, how big of a gain did we get going to fuel injection overall?
Honestly, on the modern day stuff, you know, like in the daily driver stuff, cars are a lot more efficient. They make more power, and they stay adjusted. You know, the race car version, same deal. You're more efficient, you make more power if you understand the technology. If you know how to use it, fuel injection is a better way to go. It's better tuning. There's more adjustability to them. But you got to know it. If you don't know it, then the carburetor runs better than fuel injection. And I'm a prime candidate and example of that.
Now, go back to the fuel injection. Did it actually make more power?
I believe that they do. If they're right, they do. Because they're more efficient.
I can see efficient, yeah. But let me think about this for a minute. Where's the power that's increased in it?
Well, you're not putting
raw
fuel.
Because it's got the same thing
that
the carburetor does. It's got timing. It adds fuel and air. It does the same thing.
But on fuel injection, if it's done right, it's the perfect fuel and air mixture. A carburetors very seldom are perfect.
But it's got a range of, you know, as long as you're between this and this.
Right.
It's got variables. So, but does the fuel injection make more power? I can see the consistency of it. You know, you can tune it. You can move timing just a little bit, fuel just a little bit, air just a little bit with fuel injection.
Yeah.
But first, power? I have to take a side seat on that one.
You know, I see where you're going. I don't know as if you really make any more, per se, horsepower or torque with fuel injection over a carburetor. If they're both right, you're probably making the same horsepower and torque.
Yeah.
But the tunability of fuel injection is going
to
be better than a carburetor.
Yeah.
The range is better. So you're right. If I honestly, I mean, the horsepower gains that we're getting out of cars now is more head design, CNC work, cam configurations, where technology's helped all that stuff.
And power additive.
Well, yeah.
You left that one out. Power additive. If you go turbo, supercharged, nitrous, we know those increase horsepower tremendously.
Mm. Yeah, the technology on that stuff is just crazy.
I got to get my boyer to come on the show one day. Now, I wish we had some more people on the show right now other than me and you. Because there was some, you know, you're old school like I am. We can go back some years when there was what wasn't even talk of nitrous, where we was just increasing the compression ratio to get power or changing a cam to get power. Now, we've done a lot of that stuff, and then we moved on because somebody came out with some new technology. They came out with a roller cam versus the regular cam. Okay,
no.
Everybody said the roller cam was better. Why? They said it freed up horsepower when it turns because it's on a roller. Am I right?
Yep. And you can go to a more drastic lift because it rolls and doesn't slide up the cam.
Yeah, it frees up that friction, that drag. Okay.
Yep.
Those are things that new technology that came out. That's just one of the new technologies that came out, and people ran to it. But did we leave some horsepower on the table from years ago? I want to say yes, because my boy.
Oh,
now let's go back to this. Hey, Kevin, if you get a chance, hit the one button. We had back in the day, and I know y'all have heard of this, the blow-through carburetor. Remember that?
Yep. Still got guys out there using them.
Mm-hmm. But the blow-through carburetor came out, stayed out there for a bit because people was going to turbo and superchargers. Well, turbo. Then all of a sudden, it didn't last very long. It stayed out there for a little while, but it didn't last long. And wasn't a lot of people getting them, the blow-through carburetors, because it took some special tuning. But it worked. It truly worked. Then everybody left it, walked away from it, and went to fuel injection and left it sitting there. Well, like you say, it's still a few people out there got it because they held on to what worked. They knew how to figure it out. And there was some horsepower that was still left on the table, and people migrated away from blow-through carburetors because they didn't know how to or didn't have nobody to tune it, and they walked away to the next thing that popped up in the newspaper, in the magazine, which was fuel injection. Now they got these carburetors out. What's that new carburetor that little Tony had on the call, split dominators?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to have a computer to go behind it, and then sensors, and then sensors, and then sensors. Hold on, let me get this. I'm sorry about that. We got another caller here. This is my boy Kevin. That's you, Kevin?
Yeah, that's me, Shay.
How you doing, fella?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm hanging in there. I'm just a little sore and tired. Your boy been working out, Rich. I've been working out. I'm sore all over, and I'm still fasting, so I had to go buy a different belt because that other one was too big.
Well, good.
You know what that means.
I won't recognize you when I see you.
Yeah, if I get a haircut, you sure won't. But, hey, Kevin, do you remember the blow-through carburetor?
Yep, I seen one the other day on YouTube.
Did you? I had a boy of mine. Matter of fact, some guys not too far from your boy Straw had a blow-through carburetor. I ain't going to tell you how they got it, but they got it, put it on their car, and couldn't figure it out. And they went out there to try to test, and the car couldn't even get off the starting line. So they left it alone. I started to buy it, but I realized where it came from, so I didn't want to be stuck with nobody's stolen shit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But that go-through carburetor worked. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, being I'm taking that fuel injection shit off my car, if you know anybody that's got a street car that'd like a good setup, I'll make them a hell of a deal, about half price. Fuel pump, fuel injection system, all the sensors, everything, all the wiring harness, all of it, $800.
Okay. Let me write this down.
That whole system, $1,500-$1,600 to buy it new.
Somebody might be asking about it.
But you damn sure don't want to put it on a race car.
No? Why not?
It worked great on my street car when I had my little 358 in the car and was street driving it. It was badass. It don't like this big cubic inch shit, though.
Hmm.
I think that's part of that. It's got to do with the fuel we have to run, too. I don't think it left racing fuel at all.
Oh, trying to get my book. Yes, what's today's date? Today is the
14th.
Where am I?
All the railroads going straight tomorrow.
Going straight?
On strike.
What does that mean? Oh, you say on strike.
Yeah. Supposed to be a nationwide walkout tomorrow.
Damn. There goes some products that ain't going to get delivered.
It ain't going to happen.
No.
Government will shut down.
So what they asking for?
Who?
The railroad people.
Cost of living raise would be nice. We've been 3.5 years without a contract. The company won't negotiate or talk. And that's all the unions are looking for, is for the union or them to talk. But anyways, get back to racing. The technology and how things have changed.
No, I was trying to get some paper so I can write what you said down. What all you got for sale for $800?
Complete fuel of the 800 horsepower FiTech system with a Holley pump to go with it. Everything you need to put it together except for the fuel lines.
And you said wiring harness?
$800. A dollar a horsepower.
If I had to in Langmo's terms. Okay, I got it. Got it. All right. Okay, so now when I mentioned about that blow-through carburetor and it seemed to, that's some old stuff, but it still seemed to work. Why did we leave it?
You still there,
Shake? Hey, Shake, I got an answer.
Come on.
You know how some people, man, they kind of like get caught up on the aesthetics of things,
mm-hmm.
how stuff look. Now, we all know that looks don't make your car go fast. Am I right?
That's true. A fact.
Okay, so at the same time, most everyone knows that if you're not efficient with knowledge in tuning, then you're going to have a struggle if you don't have some, you know, guy that really is good with it right by your side whenever you need them. So it's going to create a problem for you. And I think a lot of people realize that, but at the same time, people want to have the latest thing out here. And someone like me, I'm an artistic person. I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you. And I didn't get the fuel injection because I thought it was going to be the most manageable. I got it because I'm caught up on aesthetics. So, you know, that's just being honest. A lot of people won't be honest like that and tell you that. They'll just say, oh, well, you know, it's the latest technology, so, you know, it's going to be more efficient, it's this, it's that. But in reality, that ain't it. You know, they want the latest out there. And some of them are caught up on aesthetics as well.
Mm-hmm.
I went feeling just because I thought it was going to be easier. Not.
Yeah, because that going fuel injection, there's a lot more at stake. You got more than just injectors, electrical harness that hooks up to it. You got a fuel line, fuel rail, fuel pump. You have a fuel pressure regulator and the computer that makes them jokers work. That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and the cost
is
a
lot more. Huh?
I say the cost is what really gets you. And it gets you
over and over.
Well, you know, though, you priced out a really good carburetor lately. I mean, they're $1,300 to $1,500 for a good carburetor.
Yeah, they ain't cheap.
They ain't buying for $200 or $300 anymore.
Right.
$1,350 is what I just spent for new carburetors.
Now, let me ask you a question. That carburetor, $1,500 versus an old double pumper, $750, both brand new. How big of an increase do you have?
How big of what?
Of increase. When I say increase, I mean how much better is that $1,500 one versus that $750 double pumper?
Well, that $750 double pumper is still going to cost you $750-$800.
Okay,
so
let's
you
not
double
talk
the
money.
Price almost.
Let's not talk
but
money. They both still do the same?
Well, no, because the one that I've ordered for $1,350 was custom built for my engine.
So I can't get a custom built double pump of $750 for my engine?
Yeah, for about $1,350. But it won't be a highly off the shelf double pumper anymore.
Well,
I mean, that's part of it, too, though, is like you're talking about the old Hollies. You used to go into a parts store and buy a Holly. They were a high-quality piece back in the day. 90% of the parts that are in them are made from Taiwan or China now, and they're mass-produced and assembled, and they ain't nothing about them that's exact. You could buy 5 carburetors that are supposed to be the exact same part number, and ain't a damn one of them going to run the thing.
Mm-mm.
Quality controls not where it used to be.
So do a carburetor. Man, I think the prices of stuff just went sky high on them to the point where they just kept jacking the price up. And then there was a lot of different carburetor companies out there other than Holley. And people were copying off
of
Holley.
They're all based on
it. Yeah. Yeah, based off of Harley. And then everybody has a different price. Then they started making these colorful carburetors that's got the blue in the center and chrome on the top and red over here and powder coated to attract people's attention. But The carburetor still basically does the same. They didn't add nothing different.
Well, the biggest difference between an off-the-shelf carburetor and a custom-built carburetor is the body. A custom-built carburetor has a billet aluminum CNC machine piece, not some forged, stamped-out thing. That's the biggest mm-hmm. difference from one carburetor to the next when you're talking about pricing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that word you used, Kevin?
Aesthetics. Aesthetics, you know, like you see buildings
aesthetic.
Be refaced with fake brick. It look real nice, but the brick ain't new, but it look like this new. Just something
yeah.
covering it.
Spell that for me, one of y'all guys. Aesthetic.
Fuck, don't ask me.
Man, you're going to have to Google that thing, man. You know I ain't no spelling master. I was
hey,
pretty good.
That's why
spelling,
I asked y'all,
because
I figured y'all finished.
I'm
going to
get my dictionary, man. I'm
going to
look it up and give me a minute. Give me a minute.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the name. Give me a minute.
Okay, aesthetic. Because
that's kind of what you were talking about with the different carburetors, Shake, when they, you know, put billet different colored parts on them.
Yeah.
They're just dressing up
yeah.
the same turd.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
still basically the same stamped out casting. It's not a billet mm-hmm. piece. It's a casted piece. And they're mass produced versus hand-built custom one-at-a-time type deal. And that's really the
yeah.
only difference is you just know for a fact that when you get one of them guys that puts his
yeah.
name on it and he hand builds it, he's building a quality piece.
It's no different. You're right. It's no different than a refrigerator. Okay, whoever was the first one to invent a refrigerator, I don't know, don't care. They built a refrigerator to keep food and water cold. Then here comes Hoover. Hoover built the field refrigerator. And he makes it the same way, but changes a few things here, changes a few things there, put a little chrome piece on the front, make it look like the front door is all shiny stainless steel. But the basics on the inside is still the same. It keeps your stuff cold. You can, and then they'll have a knob on it with lights and all this stuff. It's still the same thing.
Yep.
So then it comes to back to Kevin talking about the word aesthetic. What somebody then sold you. Now, some people can sell an item. Like them salesmen used to come to your door selling a vacuum cleaner. My mama, I remember as a kid, I was a little kid, I seen somebody pull up in front of the house, and I rolled my bike, rolled it to the house and got off, ran inside, and I'm standing beside mama, this white man talking to mama, trying to sell her a vacuum cleaner. Now, we talking in the 60s.
A car.
And
cost as much as a car.
Yeah. And my mama sitting there just smiling, listening to the man. And Rich, Kevin, we got wood floors. That was so, it wasn't even vinyl or nothing. It wasn't no painted and shellac or nothing. It was just plain wood floors. What the hell we
right.
need a vacuum cleaner for? But they was trying to sell my mama something. And mama didn't go for it. She was like, baby, this product you got here is nice, but I can't afford it. And then look at the floor right here. We can't use this on this floor. Run our light bill up. But the man tried. So when there's parts out there in jigs, some in catalogs, there's a whole group of stuff. And they're going to try to sell it to you. Just like them Hoover vacuums, the Hoover washing machine. They even went Hoover refrigerators, Hoover this. Oh, boy. But it's still a lot of power out there. You just don't have to fall for them prestige things. You find it, Kevin?
I'm almost there, Shake. This is little something more than what I thought. It's giving me problems, but yeah. I'm on the internet, so I'm gonna get it. Give me a second.
Yeah, I got my phone. I gotta learn how to use this new phone I got.
I think I got it, Shay. Okay. Here's how you spell it. You ready?
I'm ready.
A-E-S-P-H-E-T-I-C. And the definition is... It says a set of principles underlying and guiding the work of a particular artist or artistic movement. That's Google's definition.
Say that first part again.
It says a set of principles underlying and guiding the work of a particular artist or artistic movement.
Okay.
It also talks about concern with beauty or the appreciation of beauty. Here go another one for you. It says, relating to the enjoyment or study of beauty, and as an adjective, it connotates to an object or a work of art is one that shows great beauty. In millennial layman terms, aesthetics are all about making someone feel some type of way with their work. And that's what it's doing. It's showing you one thing, but the reality is you're getting more of a look than you are actually getting the essence of what you're trying to really get. You ain't getting a real thing. You're getting a cover-up, basically. It's just like an outer thing, man, you know. Just that outer shell. If that's what pulls you and draws you in, that's enough to hold someone who has a great appreciation for that. If you ain't somebody caught up on looks and all that, that probably ain't going to draw you in. Just because it looks nice and, you know, they say this and that and all the other, why wouldn't you stick with a carburetor? Because you still moving. Motion is what you after. And carburetors go fast.
And you know, they'll come after me and say, oh, you still got that old prehistoric carburetor? You still got that old prehistoric stuff? If it's working, yeah, I do. Now, okay, Rich, I got a question for you. This just popped up my head. Why did people get rid of the old Mallory distributor?
I can answer that.
What?
New stuff, more precise. More precise,
it
goes to higher RPM, and it has a hotter fire.
Okay. Now, I can probably pretty much agree with you. Wait a minute. So there was two things involved in that. Now the distributor did its job with the coils was increased so you can go to a hotter fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, the coil go to a hotter spark, but the smaller diameter caps with the hotter spark, it would jump to more than one terminal, so they had to go to a bigger cap to keep it controlled. Bigger diameter.
Yeah. I remember seeing them when my brother was, him and his friend was doing this stuff, and I was coming up. I seen that distributor, Mallory. I mean, it was heavy as hell. You remember how big that sucker was? The base on it, I think, was cast iron, if I'm not mistaken. The old distributor.
I don't know.
The ones that had the dual point.
The dual point distributors and that stuff they upgraded. Now, you talk about more power, a magneto give you more power than you're getting out of these new HEI stuff or boxes. but
mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they're controllable anymore like they should be. I don't know that much about them, but I know that's what they ran big power for
yeah.
back in the day, mags.
I brought this up to make a point or to get y'all to help me figure out something, because when the street racing here in Detroit was heavy back years ago, there was a guy here in Detroit named Hitman, Rich, you probably may not have heard of, but you would have seen him if we'd got that race last year together. Hitman was well known here in the east side of Detroit for having a Mazda and a Sunbird with a small block Chevy engine in it. And he was racing guys. Now, this guy, Hitman, was a lot older than me. Matter of fact, I think Hitman is probably in his 70s. But he gets around pretty good for his age. And he had these two cars. And he would go out there and somebody would try to race him. He won a lot of his races. Majority of his races he won. But he had old technology. He started out with the, I think it was what we had in there, 377 small block. I remember he had camel hump heads. He had a lot of the old stuff in his car and still got some of it today. And he was kicking butt. When everybody was going with the new electronic ignition system and all the state of the art, he had a regular ATI distributor with the coil on top and running his engine and was kicking butt. Because guys would want to beat him so bad because he was a legend. They want to beat him so bad that they go and get some of the state-of-the-art, the new stuff that came out in the Biggs and Summit catalog. The new this, new this. I got this. I got that. I'm going to beat Hitman's ass. And they still couldn't mess with him because he had some of the old school stuff and it was working.
Yeah, the only problem with like a factory stock ATI, they're only good for 5,500. After that, they'll misfire.
Yeah.
But if you do the upgraded coil and cap and control modules, they'll go higher now.
Uh-huh. Yep, so he was winning for a good little while. Now, he still got his car, but he don't race as much. And he don't go to the track as much. But he know his numbers, his days are numbered. Huh?
I was thinking about retiring from racing.
Well, I'm mad at you already for trying that. You don't need to retire. I don't like hearing that word retire. That means giving up. Don't give up. You can stay in the game. Even if you assist me and Kevin, you still stay in the game. You ain't just got to race. But I don't
the whole time
ever,
my car was down. Tuning everybody else's stuff, so
yeah.
I mean, I'll never be out completely.
That's not retiring.
I ain't retiring. I ain't getting out of the driver's seat either.
Well, quit saying that on this show, or I'll be retired to you anyway. but yeah, it's a lot of stuff that I don't think people realize, and they went to this new stuff because the commercials, TV, and all this stuff pushed it out there. Rich, if you get it, you probably don't like traveling. But I went to that PRI. I know you heard of it in Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
I went to it a couple years in a row, maybe 3 years in a row. And I liked it. It's a big old they got a place bigger than our Cobo Hall. Matter of fact, you can put Cobo Hall in it maybe two times.
You're talking about all the
one in Indy?
You talking about the one in Indy or the one in Vegas?
Indy. I went to that. Oh. Yeah. They got all the people in Jig will be there. Summit will be there. They be all over the place selling their product, trying to advertise their product, and they got their product on display. I seen Craig Liberty. I seen Harley. You name it. Whatever come out your mouth was there. So they're trying to sell something and trying to sell the greatest and the best to get people's attention. Do you need it? Who knows? Can you afford it? Who knows? Yeah. I damn sure can't. Because there's a lot of stuff they got out there. They even got machines. They even got the stuff, the border cylinder head, line homes. They had a little booth, and they sitting there talking about, well, this is what we do. This is this line home in the block makes it pure, perfect. And, man, they trying to, like what you just said, Kevin, they try to sell their image. And they doing a damn good job because there'd be women walking around there half butt naked. So,
yeah, there's a couple of things to go down there for this year.
Say what now?
Now, I said there's a couple of things I'd like to go down and check out this year.
Well, if you need some tickets, let me know. They send me tickets every year.
Yeah, I'd like to go down. I want to go down and get firsthand information on what the hell DART's going to do.
What do you mean, what they're going to do?
Since the old man died, they haven't produced anything. You can't even get a big board DART block right now from anywhere.
Well, maybe it's covered. Maybe the pandemic got something to do with it.
No, they haven't produced anything. No heads, nothing. Since the old man died, everything's been at standstill down there.
Hmm. You know, I can leave my shop and go right down the street, maybe 2 miles, and make a right turn, and I went down that road, and there's a DART building down there. I didn't even know it was there that close. That's one of their locations.
Well, go down there and see if you can get me a block.
All right, I'll go down there.
I need a standard deck, big board, DART block, one of their little M big board.
Ooh.
DART block.
I'm going to ask them if they got two, and the second one is for you.
Not their SRP or SPR block. I don't want one of them junk things. I want their little M.
If they tell me they only got one, the second one is for you, Rich.
No.
Well, I got to get the first
Seriously,
one,
though, if there's somebody right around the corner from you that's got DART on their window or on their sign, mm-hmm. go down there and see if you can give me a block. Because Jags don't have any. Summit doesn't have any. Nichols doesn't have any. The other shops I've checked with, nobody's got any DART blocks. Nobody.
But I thought that was a DART block you got.
No. It's a world product.
It ain't damaged, is it? You don't know yet.
Not that I'm aware of, but it's not going to last. I want a DART block. So when I have to freshen this motor up, complete rebuild, I got another block I can use. I don't want to wait until I need it and then can't find one.
Okay.
Now there's a guy in Lansing that's got two of the small bore little M blocks.
Yeah, but that's
but
small.
But I can't build my motor with that.
Yeah, that's small bore.
Yep. You can't go to a 4195 bore on a small bore block.
A 4 what?
4.195. Oh. Somebody that actually knows engines might be able to figure out what I got for a motor now, but.
Yeah. So, yeah, I believe there's a lot of horsepower still left on the table. Because when people go to trying to, I'm going to get this new, the state of the art, I'm going to whoop your ass, but it's costing us a whole lot of money. And some of them end up bailing out before they even get halfway through. So they didn't realize how much money it's costing. So they're going to want to whoop Kevin's butt. They're going to want to whoop Jake's butt. They're going to want to whoop Rich's butt. And they realize how much money is involved in it. Some of them bail out. Some of them continue to go through with it. But if they can't tune it, they're still stuck.
Well.
Hey, Shake.
Yes, sir.
I know that you appreciate, you know, old school technology, parts, all of that. It's this guy named David Vizard, right? He's an old guy, old white guy.
David Vizard?
I was watching Vizard, V-I-Z-A-R-D.
Mm.
Anyway, he was talking about camshafts, and he was mentioning, like he was talking about hydraulic roller camshafts. Well, he was saying that a hydraulic flat tappet will actually produce more power based on its design. Yeah, it may not be as forgiving, but he talked about how what he does is when he orders stuff, he doesn't have his parts made out the same metal as the average off-the-shelf cam or lifters. And it was just something that I wanted to tell you because he was talking about how he could get one to make infinite mile per hour. And, you know, all of that stuff was really sounded impressive to me. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot about no cars when it comes to the technical side and design and the numbers and all that. But you would definitely be interested in that stuff he'd be talking about.
Yeah, from what you just saying, sound like too because it's seems to me that he's been around a little while, and he does like I do. He'll sit there and look at it and think about how can I increase this, how can I make this better. Type, he seems like that type of person.
Well,
and by him not using the same type of material, using some other kind of metal, will increase something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strength. Now, look, think about this. As you said that, I just scrolled up, and it says, just imagine this, 1,000 horsepower capable Ford production line 5-0 block. That would sound insane.
5-0 block.
The regular 302 that came in all the Mustangs. Could you imagine that? Somebody tell you they got a stock block producing 1,000 horsepower.
Mm.
That would be totally phenomenal.
And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised because I bet you there's some guys that still sitting in their pole barn or in their garage tinkering and tweaking with this, that, and other and got some things to work. Do he have advertisement? Nope. Do he have YouTube? He's still sitting in the garage with something that can run circles around a lot of these guys, and he didn't mass produce it, or he didn't get it out there.
He ain't spent all that money. He gathered knowledge and information and tested until he was able to produce what his target was. This guy up here, David Vizard Performance, he said this video was 2 months ago. And he giving you a whole full lecture on what all he did and all that. So, yeah, man, you would love this guy. This guy, man, he be talking some stuff that is mind-blowing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the sad thing is some of these old guys that have been building motors and doing this tricked-out shit for their whole life from the 50s, 60s,
yeah.
70s. Nobody wants to learn that stuff anymore. It's like their kids don't give a shit, you know, whatever. So they're, you know, how many of these old guys are going to die with knowledge that nobody's going to get, it's not going to get handed down to anybody?
Right.
It's crazy
ooh,
how much
ooh.
We're losing in
knowledge and tunability and engine building, because the younger kids just don't give a shit about getting into it. You can just go buy a Hellcat or a LT1 or, you know, Roush Mustang, and, well, that's fast enough for me. Mm-hmm. So we're losing
Nobody got patience, man. People aren't teaching patience. They teaching microwave. You get it right now. You good.
Yep.
You're absolutely right.
Nope. And it's in everything. It's not just in our field, you know, racing. But,
there's a guy. You know, I just called Phil a little while ago. He ain't answering, probably at work or sleep. But me and Phil know this guy. This is an old cat. This guy is about 70-something years old. And he's got, Kevin, I think you know him. We call him Uncle Rob. I met the man back in the 90s, he didn't never have a shop, but he went to another guy's shop and he had built his race engine. This man is so good, Rich, that I would call him the king of small blocks. And he can build some hell of a small block. He hung out with the guy that owned Dart. He knows them. They used to, like me and you, Kevin, we go to the racetrack next week and kick it, watch some races. That's what this old guy used to do with Dart. I don't know these other cats, but a lot of these big people that's in jigs and something, he used to hang out with them. And he got a lot of information from them and each other. He goes out and builds a small block. It's hell of a. He's got a truck right now that he's been working on way before I come around, since the 90s. And it's an all fiberglass chassis body, tube chassis, with a small block in it, with no nitrous. He was saying it should run into the 8s with no problem. Now, he's so old that he have had probably, I want to say, 15 surgeries because of his heart. He's got so many stents put in, it's crazy. He comes to all the car shows. He brings his car to the car show. We have not, this truck has not yet been out on the track strip. Because I remember back in the 90s, he said he was going to get his granddaughter to drive, no, his daughter. So many years went past, then that went to his nephew. So many years went past, that didn't come through. Then he went to his granddaughter. So many years went past, he said, my boy, Demetrius spoke to drive. So many years went past, that didn't come out. He still got the truck. It looks pretty as hell. It's called Top Secret. But he ain't got nobody to drive it.
He called me.
Hey, listen, that thing, it looked like it'll hurt somebody. That's how fast it looks.
It do. That's a pro stock looking truck. It's built on the pro stock fashion. Can't wait to see that, how this engine runs. I have seen some of his other engines run. And he's good to building a 355. Now, everybody say a 355. Oh, that ain't number 30 over. 350, he'll make that 355 run out of people's sight. He's good. But what I don't like about him, I love the man. I even told people that's my uncle. That's my uncle. But he don't. When it comes to teaching you, you have to be extremely, extremely, extremely special to him to teach. I'm afraid all that knowledge he got is going to go to the bottom of the casket with him.
A couple of guys here in the Marshall area that built engines when I was a kid, they didn't get to pass any of that knowledge around.
Mm-mm.
It's sad, too.
And I went to this man, and I asked him, I said, you need some help with this? You need some help with that? I'll help you. You know, I'll be a flunky. I'll hand you the wrench if you just let me watch and teach me this and that.
Learn.
Yeah, but he's the type that, oh, he ain't letting this information out. And yeah. A lot of his product come from Dart, Rich. A lot of his stuff come from Dart. He got a connection where he can get stuff from Dart where nobody else can get. That's how close
he was.
That old man that just died, that's how close he was with him.
Well, sounds like you need to introduce me.
Yeah.
I need to go start hanging out.
I can, but it wouldn't do no good, Rick. That man is
looking for a driver.
Withholding information. Yeah.
He's looking for a driver. He ain't called me.
I don't think he's looking for a driver no more. Because my boy D can still drive. D is about the only one that's got a race car that can drive. But I think he's afraid to take the car out, or I don't know. I think it's fear. Because he sure can't drive it. But to let somebody else get in there and get the glory, I don't think he wants that. I see selfishness in him. And I'm not talking about it. I'm not here bashing him. Ain't nobody on this show knowing but me and you, Kevin. But I'm not bashing him. I told you, I used to tell everybody he was my uncle because I loved him that much. I seen him build some stuff. He was teaching me how to degree the cam in. And you know the only reason why he was letting me teach him? Because it was hard for him to see the marks and crawl over inside of the car, lean over into it, and degree in the cam. So I was saying, well, I'll do it for you. And he started letting me do it. He would say, take this little round something that looked like a peel. He said, now take this and put it inside the cam in that hole right there. And what that little round thing do, I didn't know what it was called, but I got common sense. It was making that cam rotate a couple of degrees or a degree to the left or to the right. So when you degree the cam in, you can be dead nuts on that cam, because most people just line up the marks top and bottom and say, oh, I'm good. But no, you can be off of some degree after you've slapped everything together. That's called true degreeing the cam. And I did not know that. I was old school. I just lined the marks up, cam and crank, and tighten it down and go for it. But he gets deep into it, man. I mean, he gets real deep. Small block king. So, with that being said, there's a lot of guys out here that's got knowledge that going to end up dying and going to that race car heaven and sky and not pass it on to nobody.
Yeah, that's sad.
You know, we seem to be losing a lot of them here lately, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. I sure hate to see that, though, man. It's a lot of knowledge out there, man. But, you know, in this grudge world, in this race world, there is a certain level of secrecy.
Yep. More of it in the grudge world than any place else.
Yeah, that is true. Because grudge, oh, man, I'm not telling you. So you can beat me next week?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've noticed that, too, Rich. Class races, most class races, will tell you everything they got in their engine right before they race.
You know, and it's strange, too, because, like, you ask somebody that's grudge racing how fast they go or what times they're running, ain't no way in hell they're going to tell you.
Ooh.
Not even close.
Man, right.
But you go to a no-time, no-prep race,
yeah,
and they'll tell you, yeah, I just ran a 6.11 on the last pass, or I run a 5.90 or a 5.30 or a 4.90. Fuck, they'll tell you what they ran last time down the track, and you're running them next round.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Ain't that something?
But I think a lot of that's because they know their car works on that surface. Yours might not work on that surface.
Yeah.
So, You know, it's not so much the who can make the most power and go the fastest. It's who can control their power the best and got the best suspension dialed in for that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so secretive.
Man.
And I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of guys.
Not all of them, right.
And then there's some of them that are always.
How much secrecy was Billy Glidden? There was a lot of secrecy in him, wasn't it?
That came from his dad. It was Bob and Warren Johnson started that secrecy shit in Pro Stock.
I don't know if they don't want to say start, but
down to Billy.
It sneaked out with them, didn't it? It came out the woodwork. Because the people at the track tried to keep a competition fair, where you got a 402 cubic inch. Kevin got a 402. I got a 402. Now let's see who can get the most horsepower out of us. Then Rich had a big body Chevelle. Kevin had a Mustang. And I had a Vega. Well. Then Rich go to complaining about, well, hell, I got a big, heavy car. Then the track people start saying, well, okay, we're going to make competition. Kevin, you and Shake got to put some weight in your car.
Yeah. Good
God almighty. They just, then that was a new critter born.
Yep.
A new critter. Just to equal out the playing field.
You know, and I think that when you're talking about the way that they did that shit back in the day is what pushed more and more guys out to the street.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You're right. You're right. Because the NHRA and IHRA races, it got to a competition where you had to be in a certain weight category. You had to be in a certain horsepower category. You had to be all this and then above. Okay. And they lasted for a long time. I ain't taking nothing from them. But then when the Street Outlaws came out, where did a lot of them go?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. changed now, too. They ain't doing big tire cars anymore.
Yeah, because who was that guy that they said that was trying to race Street Outlaws, and they told him if you race Street Outlaws, we're gonna ban you from our race. Who was that guy?
Big Chief. They told him the NHRA said it's gonna put him up.
Yeah. Gonna take his license away.
Mm-hmm. Because
the
organization
got them guys coming now.
They got them what?
NHRA is actually trying to put together a no prep series.
Yeah, they want to go where the money is at, aren't they? It seemed like it was attracting a lot of people.
Crazy, man.
There you go.
Professional no prep. Just Christ.
That's where the money's at.
Yeah.
Professional no prep.
So somebody real important gets seriously hurt, then they'd be scratching their head like, what are we doing?
Yeah, we've lost two people. Well, the TV show, a guy died out there in Vegas a week ago, August 7th. Final day of filming out there. But it's still.
What, it was a videographer?
I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at, it's still dangerous. So what's that?
You say it was a videographer?
No,
it was a racer.
A racer?
Ryan, I can't think of his last name. He was part of the California team.
I bet O'Tale know about that.
Oh, I know Tail knows him.
Good
car caught on crash, caught on fire, and he burned to death because he couldn't get out of the car.
Ooh. Seemed like all this technology. Somebody ought to make it to where the safetiness is is kept is real is increased
well,
safety than horsepower.
Well, the stuff's out there. I mean, fire suppression systems and everything else that are all automatic. You know, stuff's there, but it's expensive. And I mean, I've looked at it. I've thought about it, but I shouldn't spend that kind of money to put one in my car either.
Well, you got to think, if you got the fire suppression, what about when the doors is jammed from an accident and they can't even be pulled open quick enough and the car explodes in flames? And you got all that in there, fire suppression and everything.
Yeah, oh, you knocked out unconscious.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The fire suppression systems, you still have to get out of the car. They're not going to put the fire out.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
get out.
You know. So.
Yeah, and then somebody got to get to you in time.
Yep.
But.
We all know the risk when we strap in. It's sad. It sucks. Don't want to see it happen to anybody, but it is part of the world that we have decided to live in.
Very true.
Yeah. If we start, and I think it needs to stay that way because the minute somebody starts controlling it, they're gonna tell you you got to do it this way, got to do it that way, and then it take all the fun out of it.
Yep.
Because they can say, right now, they can say, okay, to be in these 200-something miles an hour, 300-something mile an hour cars, you have to be between the age of 18 and 49. Well, John Forrest is straight out the door, right?
Right.
Because how old is John Forrest?
60s. Something.
I thought he's in his 70s, early 70s or something. I don't know.
Mid to late 60s, but he's the oldest man drag racing, you know.
If they start saying, well, okay, the new rule is you can't be no more than between 18 and 49, dude, that'll knock out a whole lot of people. Doc James. Kevin, you know Doc James, he's 73. And I know Rich, you probably don't know who we're talking about when you say Doc James, but he was in Pink's All Out. Right, you don't know him, but let me explain to how his car. When he takes off in his Chevelle, the car comes up about a 45 degree and carries the wheel. I want to say 200 feet every time. And the guy on Pink, not Rich, but the big guy, the guy that did went over to the pastime. He seen Doc take off. They filmed it, and he say, "Oh." Too. Doc must have used Viagra to get it up that high. And that's on the film still today. You can pull it up on YouTube.
That guy,
Doc, is 70-something years old. And when he take off, he don't see no street, no highway, no nothing. That car comes up, carries the wheel straight, and he sets it down, and he runs a good number. He's well-known.
Believe it or
not, in the city of Detroit.
I don't see any of the street when I run my car either, but I don't lift front tires off the ground.
Yeah, well, he do. This sucker here, and it's fucking.
First time I launched that car with that new long travel suspension, I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking? I can't even fucking see. Looking out the side window to make sure my ass is straight.
Right.
You know, we were talking about that the other day. You talked about safety and stuff. And
Right. Nobody
actually had thought about it. But, like, with my long travel front suspension, when my nose is up, I ain't kidding you. I can see the finish line.
Yeah.
It's from the starting line, I can see the finish line. But I can't see much of the track between me and there, if any of it. If the guy in the other lane, if I'm in the left-hand lane, the guy in the other lane's right next to me, and he gets sideways, and he comes in front of me, I'm not going to see him until I hit him.
Right.
Because that car's up that high that I can't see nothing out there. And the guy looked at me, and he's like, you know what? I never thought about it that way. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. We've got these cars that, you know, we've got all this long travel shit. You can't see.
Okay. And then being in the right lane would be an advantage to you, but in the left lane, that's a blind side. That's a totally blind side. That's right fender area.
Yep, if he's got me by half, three-quarters of a car and he gets sideways and Cummins in front of me, everybody's going to be mad at me for not lifting because I hit him. I'd be like, fuck, I didn't know he was there until I hit him.
Right. I wouldn't be mad, but they'll be like, why didn't you lift? Bam.
Yeah, why didn't you lift? Why didn't you stop? I didn't know he was there. But there's a couple of the other guys with some of the Mustangs out there that got that same kind of travel I got out of the Camaro and. They're thinking about it now, going, huh, never looked at it that way. Yeah, well.
Well, it's always good to try to get that right lane there.
Well.
If the left lane ain't real bumpy.
My car don't matter.
So,
my car go down a dirt
road.
Let
me ask you a question. How did you like Milan when you went down?
We raced top end of the track, you know, because we raced backwards.
Like
but I ain't gonna kid. I ain't gonna lie to you. When we hit the new surface, the tires rolling across the old surface. When you get to the new surface, it's a whole different sound. The sound off the tires changes. The road noise changes. It's that much different. But
and you can
smooth.
Hear it.
Yep. It's smooth as glass. I mean, I like it as far as for shutdown and stuff. It works really good.
Okay.
But I don't know. I haven't raced it forward yet. Now, Mark Sellier's buddy of mine went down there for this last open comp race for the Friday night thing, Friday-Saturday thing. And he said it was like glass. He loved it. Car drove easy and works good. So, but
right.
I hate
I'm sorry.
To do this. It's going to be that time of night for me.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so you about to get up out of here. So there's nobody but me and Kevin. So, Kevin, what you want to do? You want to stick around for a bit, or are you ready to get out?
Well, you guys have a good
week. All right, take it easy.
All right, Rich. Kevin, your car. You plan on being out next year or before the end of the year?
Shit, I don't know, man. I'm just trying. Just you know this when you're trying to do something step by step, you're doing it as your money comes versus you just trying to get all of it and then get up enough to get everything you need. I'll never make it. But I'm just piecing it. As I get the money, I buy the pieces. So it won't be long, man, till the whole under the hood, everything's complete. So from there, I need a transmission and a drive shaft, and I'll be bringing it to somebody here, man. I know going to get it tuned up for me and get it all going. So
you say you're going to need a transmission?
Yeah, I definitely need a transmission. I know which one I want. I got the torque converter for it. And remember, my car ain't, you know, it looked like a race car because it got all the race car stuff, but my goal ain't to race it. My goal is to go anywhere I want to go in it. So, you know, I ain't building it with the going as fast as I could possibly go in mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, the transmission gonna slow me down, but I'm building the transmission so I get a good ride. You know, I want to ride it.
Right.
You can go on the track and probably run deep.
What trans you looking for? Another C4 or Power Glide or what?
4L80.
4L80.
Yep, I even got the Crossman 4 and the converter. Brand new, both of them.
Who going to build it for you?
Well, the way it's going, man, the way my money go, my goal is to just order it off, you know, through the Summit thing, right? That way,
right,
I can get it on my card. I ain't got to be trying to, you know, fork out all the money at once, straight cash out my pocket thing. I mean, it would be nice if I could, but the part about that is I got to get the trans and I got to have $2,500 to just drop off with it. So,
all right.
You know, I actually had talked to a guy there that he's building everybody's transmissions. The name of the place. JCR Transmissions. I talked to the guy.
J-C?
He was like, man, JCR.
You say JC? JCR
Transmissions. I think it's in Warren.
Okay.
The guy named
Joe.
Oh,
it's up here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you had found someplace down there.
No, man, you don't want to buy nothing. That stuff's so high, man, to scare you to death. Scare you clean away. The guy told me he wanted something like $2,500 to build a C4. I ran.
Oh, now this transmission that you're doing for this car, is it going to be electronic transmission or is it going to be vacuum operated?
Well, you know the 4L80E, man, it got solenoids and all that stuff in there.
So you got to have a computer to go with it, or how is it going to work? With
your man, the setup I got for the engine is designed to work right along with the 4L80E. So it ain't going
to
be no lift.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've really been really digging into it now, Shay, and just, you know.
I see. You on point.
Digging into it real, real good. When you see it, you're gonna be like, "Yeah, Kevin, I see you really was. You really was going at this."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all right. As long as you cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
Oh, yeah. I'm going step by step. Piece for piece.
Yeah.
That's why I wish you came down here at least once. At least you will see, like, okay, I remember when this was this. This thing went a long way.
Well, you know, I want to. I really want to. But I have to see what my father says, because I've been really pushing myself to adhere to my father in heaven, my God. And he's really been, he's been into me so much lately, Kevin, is crazy. And I have to continue to give him the credit and praise him and thank him and ask him for guidance. And so sometimes I'll stray off and I say, grab my hand and pull me back. And he's been doing it. He's been there for me. He might allow me to come that way later part of the year. I'm going through some things right now. He's taking me through some tests. And that's why I couldn't do the show last week, because I was, I had to go out of town. And I got to continue grind for a little while until I get some more things taken care of. But I'm on the mission. I'm on a real mission. But he might allow me to go that way, because I need to go home one more time for the year out. And come December, I think I might go. God might allow me to go to Florida's race. Baldy's race in Florida.
Yeah.
And I go right past your house when I go to Baldy's race.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's up in the air. Whatever he tells me to do, I do it. I'm trying to be obedient, man. I told you I was fasting. And that fasting is really, you fast for two reasons. One is for health, to get your weight down and knock off some calories and quit eating so much junk. The other reason you fast is spiritual. You tell the body, no, 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 you can't have that. No, because you know how the body is of this world, and it wants to do everything wrong, and it's going to ask you for a strawberry shake, and you have to say no. That's spiritual. You have to make the body do what's right. So if I'm me, I'm shaking bait. I'm telling my body no. So who am I? The body is a physical part, so it must be a spiritual part of me that's telling the body no. And you have to make it do that, because the flesh wants to do a lot of the evil things in this world. It wants to eat of this food, eat of that food. Heck, if I had my way, I could be sitting right now on the show like I was 3-4 years ago, eating some oatmeal raisin cookies. And drinking a strawberry shake, knowing too I don't need all that sweet.
Right.
But the body wants to, and I have to tell it no. No, you can't have it. So it's like you telling your kids or your little brother, no, you can't have no sweets right before dinner. You know, we're gonna be eating in the next 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've been on a mission. We got the Woodward Dream Cruise coming up next week, Kevin.
Yep.
I know you've been to those. So
yeah.
We're gonna probably be hanging out. We got our own little place we hang out at. It's over there on Woodward, next to Palmer Park.
Yeah.
You know, some of us go down to Woodward to the Woodward Cruise and watch them with people. But here in Detroit, after we get through riding up and down the highway, looking at the cruise, we come over there and get stationary and with the fellas and talk with them. I don't know if my boy Corey going to have his car ready for the Woodward Cruise. I don't know. I don't know. But I've been seeing cars today. I've seen a Chevelle, and I can't tell the year of those Chevelles. Man, that sucker looked good going down 8 Mile. It was blue with two white stripes down the top of it all the way to the back. And I know it had a big block because I can hear that sucker rumble. And They've been driving and thinking their cars already.
Yeah, people be coming from out of town early, trying to get them spots.
I met a guy at the Woodward Dream Cruise 2 years ago. He said he don't miss one. He come all the way from California just for the Woodward Dream Cruise.
Wow.
Mhm.
That's serious right there, dude. That's a real hype.
It is. I can't wait. Well, I probably won't go and get ready until probably Friday or Saturday. Probably Saturday. I go to the cruise and just look at a couple of them cars. It's nice watching them go come down. Corey, that's you?
Yes, sir.
What's happening, man? What's happening?
What's going on? All right.
You know Kevin, don't you, Corey? That's Kevin.
Yeah, I know. I met him on the show.
Yeah, he left Detroit and went down to Georgia. Just left us hanging, man. Just left us hanging.
I ain't the only one that left, man. A whole lot of people.
Yeah, I know. Boy, yeah, you and Biz. Oh, they say, oh, Biz, move away from here.
You ain't go to Kevin's show?
Who?
You ain't go to Kevin's show? Not the corner.
Caleb's show.
Man.
Caleb had a car show today?
Yeah.
And you just not telling me?
Hey, I thought you knew.
What make you think I would know?
Man, don't he normally send texts up?
Man, I've been on a rampage, Corey. That's why I probably my head is so overwhelmed. I got to get up 5:00 in the morning and get ready for work. I got a lot on my head. He's Kevin. You know what? He might have sent me a text. Let me look and see. Okay, look. I bet there's something on here from Caleb. Yep, there it is. No. What was it at?
Man, he had rescheduled it for the day. The corner.
What, at the flea market?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. The only thing he sent me was the Woodward Cruise week kickoff and swap meet this Sunday.
Okay.
That's what he sent me, the Woodward Cruise kickoff. I don't know if that was at the flea market or is it coming up next week?
Man, I don't get the messages though, but I know he had rescheduled it for the day.
Oh yeah, that's what this is. It says August 14th. What the hell is that?
Somebody got a house on.
It says August 14th, County Line Trade Center, Warren, on the Quinder. I didn't know they was doing it. I'm glad I didn't know, because I would have went down there and spent too much time. I had something I had to do today.
Yeah. I understand that. Well, you got a lot on your plate, I understand. I'm the same.
Yeah, sure do. Swap meet space, only $25 to reserve your space. Hosted by Mr. Clean and Metro Cruise. Maybe that's why I see the cars going down. Huh?
Man, probably why, though. So now they have something on 4th Street. They had another show going on somewhere on the east side.
Okay, the county, they got another one coming up. They say the County Line, Mr. Clean and Metro, Labor Day weekend, September the 4th. That's in 2 weeks from now.
But after the Dream Cruise, yeah, right? Yeah.
God damn. They have them. That's back to back.
Now they got Motor City Mayhem.
Then they have the Metro Cruisers, Hot Cars and Barbecue Picnic Sunday, September the 18th. Where? Beasley, Barbecue, Hamburger. Trying to see where this is going to be at, Caleb. Trying to see where's the address. They didn't put it on here. Unless it's at the Diamondback. No, the Diamondback is October the 2nd. I don't know what the other one is. Bring a chair, tent. Metro Cruise is doing it in the park. What park? Unless it's going to be, it's just saying Beasley Barbecue, Hamburger, Barbecue, Chicken, Hot Dog. No address, no location. Oh, well. I can only do so much, Caleb. I guess he's not having the, remember he used to have the car show at the, on the river, at the, on the river when they had a boat show. That was early in June. I thought he usually had one in the late part of the year.
No.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, down there at the marina.
Yeah. I ain't been down there in years, though.
Right. Well, me either. Man, sir. Wind down. It's the season winding down. Better get it in while it lasts.
You ain't never lied. It's about to go solo.
Starting the temperature starting to change. Getting cold at night.
In the morning's been getting a little chilly. I get up at 5. I'll put on another shirt until that sun come out.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I do the same thing, Holmes. Huh? You made it back this way?
Yeah, I came back Tuesday. No, Monday evening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't get back
that's
Sunday.
Cool.
I couldn't make it back Sunday, man. It was too much on me. And tired and sleepy, so I had to pull over to the truck stop and go to sleep.
Oh, yeah, that. Man, definitely need that rest when you're playing around on that road.
You ain't never lie. I get to batting a few times, man. I was like, I gotta go find me a place to sit up.
Man, most definitely gotta do that, though.
So you not
man, I heard of Rick.
Huh?
I don't know on bodies, right? When the time come, I know.
Yeah, that ain't till December. We're gonna have to get Kevin to meet us down there, man.
Shake, you like that body race, though.
Dude, tell him, Corey. Ain't that the shit?
Greg, Dad, Kevin. That's the best girls race of the year.
It starts Thursday. It starts Thursday and goes Sunday.
Mm-hmm. With the pandemic, dog, you know, it still should be a pretty good one.
Oh yeah, it's still a lot of hungry guys out there that wants to race. Kevin, it's like,
if you get there
Thursday, Friday, it don't matter. You still get Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Or if you get there Thursday, you get 4 days of racing. Good weather. Hotels down the street. And some action going on every day.
I don't mean to cut you off. Go here.
No, you said something. What did you say? I didn't hear you.
No, I said non-stop action.
Yeah, it's the Super Bowl of all races, Kevin. It happens at the end of the year, and everybody from all over the country comes there to get their last little race again before Christmas.
So in other words, they really be racing. They don't be doing all that talking like they do at Milan.
Most of the racing and gambling. You can sit on the sideline, man, and make you some money.
Right.
You're a fan. It's a big old. It's a big track too. Parking on both sides. Orlando Speedway. Food, everybody out there cooking, tailgating, man, you ain't got to even go buy nothing. There's enough people out there who give you food. Yep, it's a nice event.
Man, you enjoy that, man.
It sounds like.
What was you about to say? Boy.
No, I was saying that one guy we was talking to in Florida. Dude that had fetters. You ever keep up with him?
The dude was that had fetters?
Yeah, he had like a twin type of Camaro.
I don't even remember. Boy. Twin Turbo Camaro. Was he one over there?
Yeah, he had a nice.
Close to the fence?
Yeah, yeah. Down in District part of the shutdown area.
I can't even remember what his name was. I meet so many people. It's kind of hard to keep track of them. You got to call them from time to time just to stay acquainted, you know.
True.
Otherwise, I'd even forget. But, yeah, it's a nice piece of Kevin. They'll feed you. That's that Southern hospitality. You'll get fed. That's for sure.
Like I said, Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yes,
sir. So, Corey, let me ask you, what do you think about the old school versus new school technology on the engine?
Listen, what I think about it.
Yeah, just
you gotta move. You gotta move up with the time. Old technology work good, but you gotta move up with the times. Everybody going to the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. You still can get some. All right, hold on. You going mute for me?
Hey, Shake.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if this be the case, but something tells me with both of them, whether it's fuel injected or carbureted, you know how you see cars go down the track, they take off, and then they stumble.
Mm-hmm.
Then somewhere up the way, get a catch, and then they moving real good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say that it's just a matter, like Guy Rich was saying, how well you manage what you got. Because a carburetor can, you know, stumble just as easy as a fuel injector system. But they still, they run,
yeah.
They going, see them moving, but they acting crazy. So how do you, you know, become satisfied? I feel like you'll be less disappointed with a carburetor because you only got to work out that issue versus all them issues with fuel injection system in so many different areas. You might be wanting to go to figure out why they ain't acting right. Too many things.
Exactly.
But you sacrifice just to have it, really.
Mm-hmm. And what we were talking earlier, I'm not knocking nobody to go high tech, you know, new technology with their cars or whatever, something new that came out. If it's gonna make something better for you, whether it's go fast, power, or ease your pain, I'm all for it. But if it's gonna be too expensive for you, I think I'll stick with old school. If it's gonna be easy to work on, I think I'll stick with old school. But it's just where your limit is at. If you can deal with the new technology that came out and you can work with it, because, you know, every time they come out with some kind of new technology, it comes with a bag of luggage. What I mean by a bag of luggage, you get a new computer for your car. You say you go fuel injected. You better understand what an O2 sensor is. You better understand what an idle air sensor is. You better understand what a MAP sensor is, because all of that takes a play in injection. So
mm-hmm.
when it comes to adjusting it, now if your car stumbled a little bit, you can look on that computer and say, oh, it came from that O2 sensor. So you can snatch that O2 sensor out right quick, throw your nozzle in there, and go back to racing. But if you can't figure it out where the problem was at, now you got to take your car, load it up to on the trailer, and take it back to the tuner. When my car stumbled and I lost the race, I lost $3,500. I need you to fix it. So he's going to take it apart, or he's going to examine it and ask you some questions, and he's going to make some money. Because he may not tell you the truth of what happened, or he might make up a lie, but he's going to make some money. So.
Yeah, you know, that's what it's all about. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I ain't just gave up on no carburetors now, because trust me, I got a lot, I had a lot of parts, but since they couldn't give me no dark block, I had to take my stuff back. Couldn't use it. I wasn't going to use it. Even if I still had it right now, I still couldn't use it because they ain't got no dark block still. But,
yeah. Oh.
I still
oh, so you
were
trying to get a dark box? You were trying to get a dark box?
I've been trying. I had a thing ordered, man. I canceled it because them fools can't get one. So I can't. What I'm going to do with something that's imaginary? I can't do nothing with an imaginary dark motor. I already had it ordered and everything, paid for in full, so it didn't come, so it ain't coming. I talked to the people yesterday. I mean, what was that, Friday? We ain't getting no dark blocks no time soon. So?
Well, that's what Rich was talking about a little while ago, Rich. They ain't making no more. They ain't making no more parts. They ain't producing nothing.
Ford Motor Company ain't making
dark.
Ford,
yeah.
See, got them push rod motors. Say Ford ain't producing no push rod motors. All them aftermarket Windsors and 302 blocks and all that, Ford got them. Race blocks, four bolt mains, all that. They ain't making none either. Why is that? So Ford ain't trying to steal anything. Something wrong.
You think the pandemic got them messed up?
Man, I believe it's a bunch of hogwash. I believe that this whole thing with electric cars is like, hey, we ain't going to contribute to them going out there with their V8s and doing all that. We're going to push this electric. So once we shut that down, we'll see how long they can wait. We can tell them lies forever. They want to hear them. You can still get some LS stuff because they're making a killing off that junk. LS, man, it's too many parts, man. We've got parts for days.
Yeah. I went to my boy's house today. He got two LS motors sitting on the floor at his garage. And I'm like, what is these two for? He got customers that need both of them.
You know that guy, I don't know if you heard about him, but Hitman probably know him. People consider it fixed. Them boys putting the
Consider it fixed?
Yeah. Yeah, they got an Instagram page. Man, you talking about some bad LS stuff. Them boys ain't playing. Turbo this, turbo that.
Consider it fixed. That's cool, man.
Yeah. It's not playing. They got some serious products. They put the best stuff together. Turbo. Real nice work. Fuel injected too. So, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, man, it's just like, you know, what you like. At the end of the day, you're only doing what you like, even though it give you a headache. You like that fine girl. She's going to give you way more headache than that other one. But you want it.
That's true.
So you're going to deal with that headache.
Oh, you remember we were talking a couple of years ago, Kevin, about that man that had the trailers and seats. We never did go back and dig no more into that, did we?
The man that had the trailer?
Yeah, remember me and you was on the phone talking about locating us a open trailer to carry our race car.
Oh.
And that was about the last time. You know, that's been about a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
we checking no more into it.
Jason located so many people selling trailers. You know, I kind of like, I ain't even focused on it no more now. Seeing that I'm trying to get something I can drive out on the road, I ain't really thought no more of it. But yeah, trailer always good to have. You break down, you ain't got to call the tow truck. You could just take your car to the shop.
Right.
Put your little winch on there. Away you go. Them tow bills, they add up. Shoot, I know I spent about $800 on tow bills. Maybe more than that. Just going to the shop and coming back. Going to the shop and coming back. I'm surprised you got one. You got one, don't you?
Huh?
You got
what,
one, don't you?
Open trailer?
Yeah.
An open trailer? No. Nope.
Uh-huh.
I got an enclosed trailer.
Well, that's
but I ain't better. It's a little too small. My Mustang will go in there, but I have a problem getting out of it.
Oh.
That's why I wanted an open trailer. So when I was doing my investigation, I needed maybe like a 28-foot enclosed trailer. That would be enough room for a race car and a golf cart.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can do it, Shake. I know that. You can do it.
I'm going to get it. Like I said, I got some things ironing out of the fire, man. And I'm telling you, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good.
He makes it happen. Without him, can't do nothing.
Right.
Can't move.
Absolutely right. I'm going to, I ain't going to talk too much. Things gonna work out.
Okay. Just come on through, Shake, when you go on down there to what's the name of God allow it.
Mm-hmm. I'll either make a stop going or make a stop coming back. More likely it'll probably make a stop coming back.
Oh, you ain't gonna stop coming back. Because going, you're thinking about nothing but the race. And coming back, you're thinking about nothing but getting home.
Because you know
there.
What I do? No. Understand, Shake. When everybody leave the track, I'm always going to visit family because I got family in Florida. I got family in Georgia. Matter of fact, I told you I got a cousin around the corner from you, two cousins. You know what I'm saying? I can ride a College Park. I got one cousin in College Park. That ain't far from you. I don't know what city that other area is. My cousin, she say, you know when you first come into Atlanta off of 75, and you get on that 475. As soon as you get on 475, you come up Campus Marshes. I got a cousin right there. He's right next to the freeway. And you take 475, I think that's 475, 485, 102. You got to come up. I got the GPS set on my phone. You got to, right before you get right around where the airport is at, you go west and you can go to Aunt Bonnie's shop. Now, how far are you from Aunt Bonnie's
shop?
I didn't know.
Yeah, I ain't been too
far. Yeah. Oh, yeah? Okay. So how far were you from his old shop?
Not that far. It ain't around the block, but it ain't that far.
Yeah, not an hour drive, is it?
No, probably about 30 minutes, 35.
Oh, shoot, then you wasn't far. And I wasn't far from you when I went to his shop years ago.
Yeah.
Well, we got some races coming up. Randy's race was canceled. That was last week. And we got another race coming up. Let's see if I can find some information on it. Ain't too much we can do. We've got October the 8th. US 41, that's John Drag Nation News race. I got to make it my business to be there. That's my boy. We got to make that race and that event shine. Cancer awareness. So, I'm getting kind of tired, Kevin, so it looks like we're going to have to end this show.
Get it done,
and,
man.
But yeah, I got to put that out there. October the 8th, US 41. We've got to be out there at that race to support cancer awareness. Sean's giving a race that day. It'd be nice. I don't know when Randy gonna give a another race. I think he's gonna put another one on since his other one got rained out. But once I get that information, I'll spit it to you. Okay.
Boy. I ate good earlier, Kevin.
Yeah.
I only ate once today, but when I ate, man, I was like, ooh. You know, you eat chicken all your life, and then when you eat some chicken when you're real hungry, it tastes like the best chicken in the world.
You must have had some good chicken then, because I ain't been able to find nothing good.
Well, this place I go to is pretty good. It wasn't that Coney Island I took you to before you knew this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I find a place to sit down and feed the faith, it's usually a pretty good one. Usually is... Brother Unknown. Well, all right.
That he loves God, whom he cannot see, and not love his brothers, who he sees daily. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Love.
Preacher.
True love. Unconditional love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we may have life everlasting. This morning, I want to reaffirm our faith that God is alive and ready to heal and mend confused hearts. Before I come to you with the word this morning, I would like the choir to bless us with a song.
Oh. Yeah, boy. Woo.
How'd you like my surprise?
Eddie looks great, man.
Oh, yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
He's been with us 4 years now.
4 years?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Mm. What's up, Bubba? How you doing, baby? You look great, man.
You look great, too. Hey, baby, now.
Look, how you doing?
Good. Look at you. Eddie Kane, Jr.
Hey, you'd be surprised with a 12-step program over Narcotics Anonymous would do for you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
yeah.
the Lord.
7 days a week, man, one day at a time, living right. No drugs, no alcohol, hardly getting any, that's another discussion. Let me down to you a second.
Excuse me.
Sure. You know,
All right. All right, we're going to get off out of here. Thank y'all for coming on the Shake and Bake Good Talk Show. Always good to meet my fellas, talk with my brothers, learn something, give out some information and some views. But nothing's better than always be put God first in everything you do and watch and see how things change in your life. You got something you want to say, Kevin? All right. Then we out of here. Peace, and keep God first, and we're gone.